Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This week on Pin It Deep, we have quite possibly our biggest show yet. We finally got the man. Mark Stoops joins the show today. But before we get into all that, of course, we have always got to announce the person who will go into the drawing to win the signed ball by every guest from Pin It Deep this season. Of course, if you retweet the episode, you will be able to have a chance to enter the drawing to win one of the balls signed by all the guests this season. This week's winner is at Tabby Carter. Congratulations, you have entered the contest. Now, we were fortunate enough to be able to go to the facility. Max and Miles had a great interview with Stoops after Kentucky's biggest win at home in quite some time after they knock off the top 10 ranked Gators. It was a crazy weekend in Lexington. We talk about that, the great tailgate scene, how fun Saturday was, and a little bit of an LSU preview. We also have your favorite segments like Man of the Week is back. Mark Stoops shows us how he makes his coffee, what his favorite coffee order is. As always, share, subscribe, tell a friend, be a friend. Kentucky football, 5-0. Mark Stoops on the show. Let's get into it.
Go! Every time! So others, go every time so others may, every time.
Get some.
Live from KS Bar and Grill, introducing Pin It Deep with Max Duffy and Miles Butler, presented by Kentucky Sports Radio. Welcome into a very special edition of Pin It Deep, coming in a day late, and we'll get back to that shortly. But of course, I am Brent Wainscott in here on top of KS Bar and Grill with Miles Butler, Max Duffy, and it's been an incredible week in Lexington. Before we get into all of that, it was a great day in Lexington, a great atmosphere in Lexington, great community in Lexington. So with that, we would like to start partnering with some businesses around here. We really kind of wanted to make this a push after we found we saw the numbers for our Saturday listeners for that quick of a turnaround. We didn't really post much about it, and for everyone to pitch in and listen like that was huge. And we just felt like it would be a great opportunity to partner with some of the businesses around here. And if you would like to get in touch with Pin It Deep or be a sponsor of the show, you can reach out at
KSRAds@KentuckySportsRadio.com. Again, KSRAds@KentuckySportsRadio.com.
And it's a unique opportunity, too, to have your ad read out by an Australian, which probably is pretty uncommon around here in Kentucky, I would have thought, or read by a midget, Miles.
I would vote myself. I wouldn't give it to you. Half the state may not understand you. So if you want your ad to be understood, me or Brent can take it. If you want it to be not understood, Max can take it.
Even companies in the great towns of like Henderson and Paducah. Bowling Green, those kind of smaller towns, we love to do some stuff like that.
After being out at the bar a few times with you guys, I feel like Max would maybe get the female audience into some of the establishments. Just off accent alone. Like, they might not even know what he looks like, but it's the accent every time.
I like to think so.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has other ideas as to why some of the girls find him so good.
Or any establishments maybe that want to shout out the women that work for them.
Like?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Anyways, we of course are in here after a special day in Lexington. Kentucky beats the 10th ranked Florida Gators 20-13. It was a magical night in Lexington. The defense stood up, 7 stops on the goal line to end the game, a crazy blocked kick, and being a long-suffering Kentucky football fan, have seen that game go in the complete opposite direction 100 times out of 100. But Kentucky finds a way. They get it done. They are a legit team. They are inside the top 25. They're ranked 16th in the country. They're 5-0, staring down a trip to the SEC championship against Georgia from 2 weeks. Obviously, they got to play LSU before that. But even if they lose that, they'll still be squared away. But enough about looking ahead. Saturday was special. Max, Miles, I know you all were there actually as fans.
And it was just a great Saturday to be in Lexington.
Awesome, awesome week. Historic moment, I guess, for the Kentucky football program.
Yes.
And just such a great moment to be a part of myself. Me and Miles are in the stands, standing next to each other. We barely sat down because it was such electric atmosphere. And so happy for Coach Stoops, which we've got on later, and I can't wait to get to Coach Stoops.
We do, big show. We do have Stoops
his,
on.
His great interview. But, no, awesome for him. I guess besides Florida in 2018, we've always looked to have Florida's measure until some crazy moment happens in the game. And it just seemed like that finally reversed, and we were ready to take our moment. And obviously the blocked field goal changes everything. We finally get a big moment go for us, which you just need those little bits of luck sometimes in the game. Now, having said that, it's not luck to obviously come up with a field goal block, but just something out of the ordinary that kind of gets you guys, gets us going. And loudest I've ever heard Kroger Field when that happened, Miles.
Yep. Easily. Seemed like the offense was doing its part of moving the ball, control the clock a little bit. Defense obviously had a huge night.
Huge.
Josh Pascal was probably massive. top performance I've seen in a long time out of a defensive player here.
Probably the best performance I've seen by someone walking the earth in about 2021 years.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Well,
give or take.
You know. There's been a few good people.
There's been
here
a few
there,
good
you know.
In between.
There's been some bad ones too, but he's an absolute star.
Yeah.
Special teams stood up big, like we said, the blocked field goal, and then the fourth phase.
Yep.
That we don't talk about enough, the crowd.
Yeah.
Eight false
how
starts.
How many false starts? Eight.
Eight false starts.
That's got to be a record for Florida in recent years.
There was a crucial one in the red zone when they were trying to knock on the door. The fact that they had two back to back to go from like 3rd and 5 to 3rd and 15 was huge.
It's huge.
And Florida was just rattled all night. You can just tell that. And that's a testament to the BBN. And Kroger Field is absolutely like a hard place to play in the SEC. I think it finally got its due on Saturday.
Easily. Oh, and I talked to Felipe Franks at the Senior Bowl for a brief moment. He mentioned how
– You and Felipe bros?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, he's a bad guy. I talked to him for about 5 seconds. He mentioned the fact that he thought Kroger Field was one of the loudest places he'd played at, and the atmosphere was crazy. I guess we always show up for Florida, that's why. He probably hasn't seen it sometimes at its down moments. But I think there's a genuine thing there where the crowds now, obviously we proved that on Saturday, turn out and get pumped up for these games. And hey, if Kentucky football is big, we're flying, and we're bigger than the basketball team.
I think there's something to be said there too about when the defense is playing well. It's like if their offense is struggling, they can't really find the answers. And then on top of that, they keep getting penalties that anytime they're getting close to a first down, it's like, oh, we shoot ourselves in the foot.
Well,
you put those together,
and then
and it's
the fans
really
just elevate.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the problem. Not the problem. The great thing for us, but for whenever we play away. You can't afford to jump offside early because then the crowd goes, hey, we're in this.
Yep.
Like, well, this is our moment. Like, we can actually influence the game. And then they just keep going and going and going. And that's what happened on Saturday. They jumped once and the crowd's like, oh, this is cool because I'm actually involved in the game here. And then they just feed off it and keep getting louder and louder and louder.
And one more quick thing, and we're going to talk a lot about the fans on the back end too, but this is the first time, again, been to so many games over my life. This is the game where, for me, it was like, okay, Kentucky's a legit atmosphere thing. Like, it feels like the blue-white thing where we chant blue-white is – well, it worked with the shirts, but it feels like the blue-white chant's going to be a thing that continues because that seemed to work. And I watched the game over again, and just it came over well across TV. But the fact that all the fans bought in, even the old head, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no clue.
No, it's like when you're grumpy. What's the word? When you're like an old grumpy person, what is that word?
Grumpy is
grouchy?
The word.
Grouchy?
Grouchy? No, there's a...
Senile?
Curmudgeonly.
What?
You is that even in the dictionary?
Spell it.
I've never heard it,
but it's like you're
spell
old...
Spell it.
It's like you're old curmudgeon.
Smell it.
Smell it. Don't smell it. Spell it.
Spell it.
I don't know if it starts with a K or a C, so I'm not even going to try.
I'm
unbelievable word. He definitely... Okay, that's one of those things where Brett. I always call you Brett.
I don't want to hear anything about me saying promotion when
so
you can't
many
even Brents say my name
and Brents
right.
In my life at the moment. You've gone to the dictionary and just tried to pick a word, and you're like, I'm going to sneak that in the podcast today, and now you've just gone for it.
You guys have never heard the word curmudgeon, like dead serious.
What dare did you lose? You lost a dare this weekend.
Yeah.
Who got you?
So hello to Brent Wade Scott's friend that asked him to say that
very
word on
funny.
The podcast.
No, I'm dead serious. You guys have never heard the word curmudgeonly?
Nope.
No.
Not in 25 years, no.
Well,
no,
shit.
Max, I
not
know you would say the same thing, but you figured it out.
Well, anyways, what I was saying was everyone bought in, even the old grumpy, curmudgeon Kentucky football fans who are usually like, ah, that's not going to work, or ah, Kentucky's going to find a way to screw this up. It felt like everyone bought in. And not going to lie, my dad has been a long-time Kentucky football fan where he's like, Kentucky's going to screw this up at some point.
He's a curmudgeon?
No. My dad's dope. But also just seeing him finally buy in and be like, okay, Kentucky's going to get this done was pretty cool.
It was awesome. It was actually, yeah, it's so cool just to have that. That big moment at home is what the fans have been waiting for too. Like, we've had some really big road victories, bowl victories, but to have one at home just gets the crowd so much more involved, obviously. But in terms of like support and making sure guys, people keep coming to the games, we needed that big home victory because for whatever reason, I guess the closeness of the team, we've been really good on the road.
Yep.
And we haven't managed to get those really big ones home, so that was huge.
I mean, when you think about over the Stoops era, what are the biggest home wins? You've got South Carolina in 2014, which is 7 years ago already. You've got
Mississippi State
2018.
Was it a kick from McGinnis?
Mississippi State, South Carolina seemed like big at the time in 2018. Probably wasn't.
Yeah.
But they seemed big at the time.
And then you've got like Tennessee when Steven Johnson jumped over the guy. But even then, that game was so cold, like really no one was there, kind of. Like it was just, I mean, people were there, but it wasn't like, like this is the first time
Murray
Kentucky.
Murray State.
Yeah, that's a big one.
EKU. When I played him, we went into overtime. It was a huge
big win.
Speaking of wins and big wins, there's no doubting the correlation between the fact that this podcast has started and UTSA is 5-0.
Yep.
And UTSA is 5-0.
Not just UTSA. There's several teams.
There's a couple of others that we wouldn't want to jinx them by calling them out on the show if you're 5-0.
But I think we do deserve our flowers that these teams should definitely...
Let's give them the recognition. They are 5-0. Let's recognize them.
So the teams that are currently undefeated in college football... Georgia,
yep.
Michigan,
yep.
Okay.
BYU,
yep.
UTSA, yep. University of Texas, San Antonio,
Roadrunners,
Wake Forest, only undefeated team left in the ACC, Wake Forest, Demon Deacons.
Just as everyone predicted.
Yep. The Oklahoma Sooners, Michigan SEC. State, Ooh. Wyoming, Alabama, San Diego State.
Yep.
Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Iowa, shout out to the
Hawkeyes.
Yep. Our friends up in Ohio, the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah.
Penn State.
Yep.
SMU.
Yeah.
And the Chanticleers.
Good. And so for every team that we just called out, you're now
Coastal
jinxed.
Carolina.
And the one team we didn't, you're fine. Keep rolling.
It would be a shame if one of them lost, or if any of them lost.
Yeah.
After jinxing them. Or they could give us credit for giving them some good luck to
start
the year.
I think they should.
The Arizona Cardinals are also 4-0.
Yeah. 4-0.
And while we're recording this, maybe the Las Vegas Raiders go 4-0.
They haven't lost either yet.
Nope.
Whenever you guys want to just give your thanks and shout out Pin It Deep, by all means do it. I know we were given strong thanks. The football team thanked us largely for being 4-0, so much so that they let us in the locker room on Saturday night, Miles.
That was probably the best moment of the game for me and you probably as well. We snuck down. We stormed the field just like I think most everyone did.
Yeah.
Got near the locker room and were told no, we couldn't go in there. And before we knew it, someone grabbed us. We turned. Waka Flocka was next to me, and Coach Stoops was getting the troops rallied.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Stoops troops.
Like it was almost like that moment, like where we kind of stormed the field, had a hell of a time. We're about to leave, and all of a sudden, it's like the security had found us or something. We weren't sure what we'd done wrong. We thought we were about to get kicked out of the stadium, but someone else was grabbing us by the back of the collar and just dragging us in, and it was awesome. So to be a part of that locker room, Chris Oates was in there.
Yep.
I believe they gave him the game ball.
It did.
And it was just awesome to hear. Obviously, me and Miles have been a part of it, but to be down there again after a big win, hear Coach Stoops speak to the players, see all the players, how elated they were and how happy they were, all the staff as well. I think people underestimate how happy the staff get when we have big wins like that. It was just such a cool time to be a part of everything and to be in the middle of it. And
so what was the locker room like, though?
Loud.
Loud. Really just, loud.
I think, people have to understand the amount of work and effort that goes into it. I mean, all season.
For 12
season.
Times a game for the season. And really 3 to 4 opportunities. I don't want to discredit some of the games. But 3 or 4 opportunities to beat powerhouse programs.
Right.
A year.
The margin of error is so small in those games.
And we've had so many that have gone out the wrong way that it's just such a big moment. And our track history suggests we may not get those kind of wins every year. So when we do, make the most of it, have a good time. I know the guys would have, celebrated fairly hard on Saturday night, and then they get back to work and we go to LSU.
Here's my question, though. You guys have been in some big wins. Penn State, Florida in 2018. What How was that locker room environment compared to the ones when you all played?
Still nothing compares with Coach Stoops punching the hole in the roof against Missouri.
Missouri was good.
That was the best because it was just like, it wasn't so much elation of that weird one.
There's
it was
just no way
so much that relief that we had managed to get to Georgia, I think undefeated, or like with one loss at that time.
Well, it's because someone missed a kick at Texas A&M.
Correct. We had one loss, and we knew we were going to play for that. And we thought for so long in that game, like, oh my, we've blown our chance at the East. And then it was just such an amazing play at the end. Everything happened so fast. We went back in there. The music got pumping. Stoops does his usual, like, somehow comes up with something that just gets the guys going. And he said, I'm jumping. I remember the speech was something like, whatever. Great job. Let's get ready for next week. By the way, when I finish this, be ready because I'm jumping onto you guys. Then he kept going. Then he just jumped.
Then we were like, Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba. It was so good. Punched the hole. But that's the best one I've been a part of. There's always great ones. I mean, all the bowl games are so great. But you spend so much time out in the field after bowl games that it kind of the locker room's good, but it's like out on the field.
And I'd say that's also kind of bittersweet as well.
It is, because the bowl game's the last time, I think people realize it's the last time that group's usually going to be together. There may be a meeting or something after, but that guy's going to NFL and stuff like
even
that.
Even if it's not you leaving, it's your friends leaving.
Exactly.
So for me, obviously, like Miles and Tristan leaving after the Citrus Bowl was awesome, but it's just like, damn, this is the last game we're going to play together. The next year we had like guys like Logan, Mason Wolf was leaving, who was one of my housemates, and then obviously last year in the bowl game, it was like, damn, like the closer the game got to the end, it was close and I wanted to win and I was so happy that I'd won. And then it's like, oh, well, this is the last game I'm ever going to play now. It's not like retiring from NFL or like the football that I played back home where you kind of hopefully get to choose a time when you want to go. It's just like, oh, your time's done, by the way. You can't play anymore. It's like, oh, that sucks.
Well,
the good thing with those bowls.
Moving on.
No, I'll do it in lighter note. The good thing with the bowls, Stoops almost always would dance.
Yeah.
Win or lose? I
didn't have a loss.
Hold on. I want to say, I don't think he did a lot of dancing after Music City Bowl
probably
in 2017.
Not. But he would come
furious.
In with some strutting. He'd have some, turn that music on and get to dancing. I didn't see him dance Saturday night, though. Did you? He was just in a smile.
There was no he wanted to get it going. He said, that we're gonna finish this speech. We're going to get the music going. And then maybe the audio wasn't working or something. A little bit like this show sometimes we're trying to work it out.
Well, I wonder if he was intimidated because Waka Flocka was there.
Because no probably music really got going. Which they normally does in the
I know. Room,
but. And one more thing about the atmosphere in the post game before we move on. Obviously, you all played y'all's first field storm. How was that? And before we get into what y'all's experience was, for those of you who don't know, Max and Miles sit on the opposite side of the field, like in the family section. I'm in the seats I've had for years. So we storm the field. They're on one and I'm on the other. And so this picture is surfacing around of Max Miles hugging Josh in the Pennant Deep shirts, by the way, which you all can hopefully get soon. And it's just funny because on the caption, it's like, Kentucky fined $250,000 for rushing the field. And it's just your two
basically
face.
Blaming Pennant Deep, for the fact that everyone ran on there. So appreciate that. That is hilarious.
How did you guys find the field storm? I found it to be very hot and sweaty.
It was so sweaty, like really, really, really sweaty, especially because like we know so many of the players, so we're embracing so many of the players. And every time I was like, oh, this is going to be gross, but we got to do it. But just for me, absolute ultimate jealousy.
So
like
good.
So much jealousy of like,
of
I
the
never,
players?
Yeah, I never got that. I never got like, I know I would have been in the middle, like helmet up in the air, like trying to like revel in all the glory. Try and get someone to lift me up on some shoulders or something. Like that's
bit.
What I would have done, but so jealous that they get to be a part of that because we were so close 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was so disappointing. But
I was a little bit – when we were sitting in the stands and right before the end of the game, we saw all the bright vests come down.
Mm-hmm.
Max and I were kind of like, I don't know if old Barnhart's going to let him do it tonight. And then the floodgates just
no
wide
him.
Open.
Yeah.
No, just strength in numbers, I guess.
Well, one of the funniest things I saw too was you talked about having your helmet off and smashing it and everything. Can we talk about how – did you all see this, how Jacquez Jones lost his helmet and everyone was taking pictures with it?
His helmet got stolen. They never got it back. They never got it back because they were talking about it today. I went down to the facility today. They never got it back.
You think if they found Bo Allen's helmet, it'd go in like the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yeah, you can't find it. It doesn't exist. It's like 15 helmets kind of meshed together into one.
I wonder if that's why they're not wearing blue helmets. They're like, well, we've lost Jacquez's helmet. Just chrome helmets now.
We don't have,
every break
we don't have
chrome helmets. Yep. Oh man, what a night!
What a night!
And hopefully, and Saturday it's going to be just as big against LSU. It's another
Keeneland
sellout.
Keeneland is going to be good. Oof. Into the game. God, I'm excited.
Lexington's going to be a busy week for the next, well, honestly, month, because you had Florida, you go, and if you beat LSU, this place is going to be buzzing. Even though it's a road game, that the next 2 weeks are what Kentucky fans dream of.
Agreed? No doubt, and I know our coach definitely. Well, maybe he didn't celebrate that hard.
Nope.
Because I got a text from him just confirming that he would come on the show on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Just give me a thumbs up. So he got up nice and early and was preparing.
Well,
There's no way he was just going to bed. He just got up, gave him the thumbs up, and was ready to prepare.
Didn't he tell us he had, I think, a breakfast with a recruit?
Yep.
So maybe it was like a very early
He probably
breakfast.
Went for his morning jog.
Yep. Morning jog into the breakfast.
Yeah, he's doing what he's got to do.
CrossFit.
You go when you win your biggest home game in your tenure, and you go to bed at, like, what, you know, 10 o'clock, wake up at 6, you have your cup of coffee.
Like we see in the interview coming up, especially a man that drinks about 8 to 10 coffees a day, probably so much, so caffeinated up he never really sleeps.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He might sleep now and then.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry.
All right, can we just get to Coach Stoops?
Yep, we are going to – so for those of you who don't know, we usually do the interview before we do the first segment and everything. We got pushed back to Tuesday because, you know, we're doing what we got to do. We got to make a way for Coach Stoops. So let's stop beating around the bush. Let's get to the guy, the man of the hour, Mark Stoops.
Yep.
Well, well, well.
You nervous?
You should
yeah.
be.
Oh, yeah. I'm nervous. You better be nervous.
Be careful, by the way. These headsets, I've seen you toss a few, so be careful with these. These are nice equipment.
Don't start with me already. All right, you too.
You guys, if you keep it on.
All right, first of all, I'm going to ask the question. Okay? I want you guys to explain a little bit. I've been hearing little bits and pieces. What have you been talking some smack about me behind? Oh, you know what I mean?
Never smack, just the truth.
Just the truth. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So it's flattering then?
If you said true or not true to any of our stories, it'd always be true.
Is it flattering to me?
Very flattering. Okay. Always nice stuff.
Okay.
Always nice stuff.
All right, go ahead.
How happy are you at the moment with the team? Obviously, everything's going pretty well. Big win, biggest win probably at home and maybe in your tenure. How happy are you at the moment?
Well, obviously, very, very pleased. You know, and I know it's not Coach Speak. It's on to the next opportunity, you know, for us. So we get to enjoy them for less than 24 hours. The players get to enjoy them until you walk in here on Monday meetings. And, you know, but for the coaches, we enjoy them Saturday night, and then it's back to work Sunday morning. We've had a really busy time. You know, for me, we've had some recruits on campus for official visits, which is great, but it also, to me, is very time consuming because you're so busy anyway, getting ready for the game, you're stressed, and then you have the game, and then you know, afterwards it's recruiting, and Sunday it's recruiting. I was at recruiting breakfast Monday morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a busy time along with wrapping up and then preparing for the next opponent.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about the crowd Saturday night. We were at the game. I think that's the loudest I've heard. So I've been here. Obviously made an impact on their offense, I think, a little bit.
There's no question. Without a doubt, just one of the best atmospheres since I've been here. True home field advantage, as I've mentioned. Thank you to the BBN because they really, you know, had a factor in the outcome of the game.
Yep.
You know, when you're one point in time, they were third and one.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to third and six and third and 11, and we get to stop. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yep.
And then, you know, late in the game on that drive as well, the pre-snap penalty, I mean, that's huge. And obviously the fans had an effect on that.
Yeah, I mean, we can guarantee me and Miles were screaming our lungs out. Lucky we didn't have to do this a couple of days ago. We'd lost our voice.
Yeah.
The defense, obviously a big improvement recently. Kind of started off maybe a little bit shaky in the year, and it's really improved. Lost Bully on Saturday night. Josh was still able to anchor it down and hold us up. How big has that been for us?
Oh, the defense has been exceptional the last 2 weeks. Early in the year, we were just inconsistent, you know, doing some really good things at times, inconsistent at other times. But that's what you have to see as our coaches hold the players accountable and really show them the film. You see when we do things right, good things are happening. And people don't really understand that. They think, you know, an individual, like certainly there's some individuals that can have an impact on a game. And we saw that with Josh this past week and others. But on defense, if you don't have all 11 guys doing exactly what they're supposed to do, you're going to get exposed against good teams. The last 2 weeks, not only are we playing exceptionally hard and executing the defense, but you're seeing everybody in the position they need to be in.
You talked in a press conference a couple of weeks ago about maybe having to give some advice to Coach Cohen about how he speaks to the media. What did you say to him, and how's that relationship going? And the offense has been maybe a little bit stagnant the last couple of weeks. How's that looking to improve?
No, the relationship's great. I have all the confidence in the world in Liam, and I'm teasing about that. I don't need to educate him on anything. He's been around. He knows, you know, but... you know, I guess through the years you do, you know, sometimes you do, you know, when you tend to be, I try to be very authentic, but when you tend to be brutally honest, sometimes it'll get piled up on you.
That's use it all. Against you a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. Not you, not you two, though.
Not
yeah, that's right.
We talked Saturday night just how big of a program-changing win that was, and just kind of going back since you've been here, some of the bigger wins, three of them, I think, at the Swamp, Saturday night, and then when Austin hit the kick versus Mississippi State, three of them had Mullen on the other sideline. Is there a little rivalry there? I know he's kind of an offensive guru.
I didn't
You're
even look
defensive guy.
I didn't even look at it that way. You know, I really didn't. Yeah. I mean, I don't really rank them. You all can.
Yeah.
You guys are doing your thing now, and hopefully doing very well, and you know, becoming successful. But for me, I don't really have time to think about them like that. I rank them or anything like that.
I got you.
The offensive guru versus the defensive guru doesn't just have a little bit extra for you.
No, I mean, shoot, heck, we're fighting and clawing, trying to win every game.
Do you get a chance ever to talk to any of the other SEC coaches? Obviously, you'd probably have SEC media day, but outside of that, do you guys ever really communicate at all?
Yeah, I do. You know, keep that between us. I mean, certainly, there's been a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
You know, in general, there's been a lot of turnover since I've been here, of course.
Yeah.
But even in the last couple of years, you know, with COVID, us missing some meetings, you know, when we get back in person meetings now, it's quite different than even like 3 years ago. But I have quite a few friends and some guys that are no longer coaching, but I keep in touch with them very well because I became good friends with them.
We were saying, because there's a talk that Coach Saban, all of his former assistants have like a group message of all the coaches that were together, must champion some of them. You could have one within your own family. Do y'all, your brothers, have a group message you all kind of talk back and forth about football? Nothing?
No. I can't stand group messages. I can't keep up. I can't keep up with my phone. You know, I really hate not getting back to people, and because I appreciate them taking the time just to reach out to me, and I'm grateful. But, like, right now I'm really having a hard time. I hate not getting back to people, but I can't keep up with it. And there's nothing worse than a group message where people are just ding, 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 ding. That's not
that just gets the automatic swiped away.
Yeah, I really just
But who's the best coach amongst the brothers? Do you ever have a little bit of rivalry maybe around Christmas time or something and talk a bit of shit with each other?
We talk a little smack, that's for sure. But you know what? Honestly, when you go through what we go through, everybody talks about that or whatever, but I mean, people don't realize how this business affects your life.
Yep.
I mean, it's your life. You know what I mean? Yep. And so when people talk like that, there's really no time. Like, we're the type of people where there's really no time for it. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, we don't get to see each other that much. When we do, you know, we really don't get into football unless we do that for a reason. If we say, hey, let's get together and talk football, then we'll do that. If we're together on vacation or family deal, then it's really about that, about the families, about the kids. And, you know, that's all lighthearted fun. We could joke about it, but to be honest with you, we're all sick of that shit.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
No
it's
doubt.
Like the last thing we need to do is continue to poke at each other.
Yeah.
Plenty of people do that to us.
So With going on that, obviously, there's kind of stories out there about you guys used to sit down at the kitchen table and your dad would run you through the defensive stuff and make you sit down and watch game film. Is that true? And if it is, how much of an influence did he have on your coaching career and philosophy and all the way you go about coaching?
Well, part of it's true. The way you phrased it is not true.
Okay.
Okay, so we grew up... Our defense philosophy, I mean, it may have just sunk into us, you know what I mean? But like, my dad was a long time ago in you know, the anniversary of his death is coming up in just a few days. And so you know, the impact he had on all of us was, you know, monumental. I mean, mm-hmm. he had the most influence on all of us, without question. But that's a true story. But we didn't think nothing of it. It mm-hmm. was just the way we grew up. I mean, every day in the fall, we'd get home. If this was our kitchen table, this would be the 16-millimeter film. And he would just use the refrigerator as his white, you know, as the backdrop. Yeah. And that was a fact. I mean, he would just sit there and go on and write his notes and just watching film right there. I mean, every day. And we'd just sit there in the dark and eat our food and whatever it was, you know. And
you have your own little notebook?
No. I'd just be getting up saying, Dad, I'm going to get the milk. get to whatever. And he'd be like, go right ahead, do what you got to do, you know. And but he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't say much. He'd just sit there and do his work. And we would just sit there at the table and we might have some conversation. We might not. And he just, you know, that's just, that was a fact. That was about every day when we grew up, you know, him doing his work.
Well, going off that, I mean, talk about the impact that he had. Chris Oates' stuff going on, Coach Schlarman's stuff going on. You said, you know, it's this is your life. Everything going on at once. How did you balance that these past few years? I know that's had to take quite a toll on you, but just righting the ship and keeping it going in the right direction despite all that.
Yeah, I mean, brutally hard because, you know, just the family, you know, is so important. I've gone through my own, you know, situation family-wise, and it's just hard, you know. You feel like there's only so much of you mm-hmm. that could go around, yet you have a responsibility to a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. You guys know when you're here, you know, when you're here with me and the way you are, you try to be there for everybody. I had to recruit, you know, a parent on our team actually tell me, you know what your problem is, Coach? And I'm like, no, what, one of your problems? And I'm like, well, I got a lot of them. but she said, you're too accessible. And I said, well, that's a good thing. Yeah. If my office, if I'm too accessible, then, but you do get spread thin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with Leanne and the family and the kids, still keep in touch. She texts me after the game, and you know, she sat in the suite not too long ago. She's still a huge part of this family. And you know, with Chris, you know, you have a tendency to get wrapped up in everything that you get wrapped up in. So we started to GoFundMe early on. Mm-hmm. People did so well. And then I heard about Kim not being able to, in her truck, you know, breaking down, getting Chris mm-hmm. to rehab. And, you know, and you know, and so I got her down here, you know, we rented a truck, got her down here. And then I'm like, wait a minute, let's get the BBN behind this again. And then we started a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the BBN came through once again, and thank you, because you know that's what I mean. But it takes all of us and supporting Chris, and so that's good. But then we also set up a foundation, and I got some people involved, and boom, within a week, we raised over $100,000 to buy the truck and keep the GoFundMe where the fans donated for Kim to use that and Chris to use that for hopefully years to come for different things. But, you know, my friends and I stepped up and got the new van done in a week. And that's what, you know, that's what this is all about. And that's what's special.
I think that's definitely something that people just overlook and accept as that's your job, in terms of, like, you're managing 100 players, you're managing all the coaching staff, you're overseeing an SEC football program, which is massive, and you've got all these other things going on in your personal life. Most people just get to go home from work, they'll sort that stuff out in all their spare time. You don't have spare time like that. You're always stretching thin. You're recruiting, keeping the guys here happy, keeping the staff happy. How are you able to manage all that, keep that kind of, and without going insane, like without just wanting to crawl up into a ball and say, this is enough?
Yeah, you know, I think that's where the Youngstown in me comes out. You know, it's hard to define what Youngstown is and what it, you know, it's all about, really. And but I think, you know, down deep, just like grit and resiliency is what it's all about, you know, in, you know, looking at different things and thinking about messaging to the team today, you know, and to them, you know, it's like, you know, the old, you know, story about like overnight success. Well, how do you become an overnight success? Well, you wake up every day and you work your ass off your whole life. And our players have done that. You guys have done that. You know what I mean? And like, okay, now we're in a good position, but it's like, you got to capitalize on it and remember what got you to this position, you know. And that's, you know, for me, you know, there's such a big obligation. You know, you talk about too much is given, much is expected. And there's a lot of people that expect a lot from me.
Yep.
And I feel that obligation. I feel an obligation to produce and put out a good team on the field. I feel an obligation to every player here. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. You know me personally.
Yep.
You know, in that, do I do a great job at it? I try, but I mean, I guarantee I miss. You know, but like I tell you, like I tell the other players, I can't read every person. There's 150 people in this building.
Yep.
I can't read everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. But if there's things on their mind, if things I could do better, I need to know, and I want to talk to you about it, and I want to try to sort through it. And that, it gets overwhelming. I think over 9 years, I've become better at it, you know, but there's still not enough time in a day. You know, you still feel like it keeps you up at night, like I'm missing the boat on this, or I'm missing that, or, man, I need to reach out, you know, to this person or that person. And, you know, and those are the things that keep you up. Like, what am I not doing, you know?
Yeah. Going off that, how special, so there was a moment on the weekend, yourself, Wandale, and Vince kind of embracing as the game was over. Mm. How much of a chance do you get to kind of smell the roses and say, look, all, everything's tough all the time, it's day after day, grind after grind, but then you get to sit back and, hey, I just achieved something that every coach would want to win, an SEC game in front of my home crowd against Florida, who's historically we haven't been able to do much. How much of a chance do you get to sit back sometimes and go, you know, this is all the hard stuff's been worth it because I'm achieving things I'd love to achieve?
And, you know, really never. Yeah. You know, that's not in the program. You know what I mean? That's not in the cards right now. You know, it's just not. It's always, you know, have to get, what do I have to do? Well, I have to do media. I have to do my radio show. I have to go meet with recruits. I got to address the team.
I got to talk to you.
I got a lot to do. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm texting Chase, you know, Saturday night, man, what time am I on tomorrow morning? Like, what time do I got to go meet recruits? What time's recruiting breakfast? What do I got to do? You know what I mean? Give me my next, because that's what I was thinking of, my next schedule.
Does it give you, does it kind of make you feel like it's all worth it, though, when moments like Saturday night happen?
Definitely. Because, you know, if you didn't want that, then don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do this for a paycheck. You know what I mean? I do this for, you know, our players, our fan base, the community. You know what I mean? It's way bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell y'all that when you played for me, it's not about you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't care who it is. It's not about you. Well, the same thing. It's not about me at all. It's about all of it. I'm the person in this position. I'm the person in this chair. For now.
Yep.
That's not going to last forever. You know, I'm not going to be the head coach of Kentucky forever. That's a fact. And so, you know, I'm the person holding down the chair. I have no desire to go leave that chair right now, but eventually somebody else will be there. So it's not about me, and, you know, it's about everybody.
I think everybody knows, you know, if we talk to players, we've had a few on already, any radio shows you hear about players, they always ask about you, and they all say that you're your player's coach, you're all about the guys. How does that feel to have that reputation among the guys? A unanimous feeling.
Well, you know what's interesting about that now is now that's the in vogue thing to be.
Right.
But I've been that for 35 years.
It wasn't always cool to be like
that. It wasn't cool to be like that. It was the, you know, you got to be this, that. Well, now all of a sudden, because of the transfer portal, you want to be a player's coach.
Right.
Yeah. But I've never apologized for that my whole life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I just feel like you get way more out of people if they know you care about them and you're authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I can pull the truth out of you, because it's like a bank, man. I keep on, you know, if I invest in you, mm-hmm. there's going to be times where I got to pull that out.
Right.
And if they don't love you, if they don't believe you, and they know you're fake, you're not getting that.
Yeah.
So I've always had a great relationship, started with really easy for me as a position coach, because that's just my nature, and you're in there all the time with them, you spend time, and then it became a defense, and then as a program, as an organization, that gets back to your question earlier, that you feel like, do I have my arms around this whole thing, this whole beast? And I try,
yeah,
but that's a big thing to put your arms around, make sure I have a relationship with everybody.
Yeah.
And that people can trust me, like I'm in a blind spot here. What about this? What about that? And I have to listen to them. But that takes a long time, and you have to have great people.
And I think the main thing, and me and Miles can attest to this, and I'm sure you feel great about this, is so many guys on camera would say nice things about their coach, and then in the background they're saying opposite. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you the stuff that we say on camera is the stuff we're saying behind too, which is awesome, obviously. But what my question would be, you're dealing with 18 to 22 year olds, and you're kind of, I always say this when I talk to guys on the other teams, there's not a whole lot of rules here. There's not a whole lot of like discipline, and like we're kind of left to our own devices. How good we want to be, we're able to be. We've got all the facilities, everything like that. How hard is it sometimes to be like, man, I'd love to put my foot down here, and but we kind of, the guys seem to learn better with the fact that they're free to do what they want.
Yeah, you have to do what's right. I mean, our rules are you do what's right. Yep. You handle yourself and do what's right, then you're not going to have a lot of rules. You have a ton of rules, well, then you better enforce them, or else then you're going to look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, and I know that doesn't mean you have to hold people accountable, you know, and do the right things. But if you got 10,000 rules, well, you're checking off those boxes, you know, that's not right. That's kind of like religion to me. Like, you know, check off a box. I went to church. I did this. You know what I mean? So does that make me perfect because I went to church? No, your relationship with Christ. You know what I mean? And like, you know, what is your relationship? It's the same way in here. It's like, what is our relationship to each other? You know, what is our obligation to each other? Yeah. And that's where we're hitting it here.
Yeah.
And I believe our players, our organization, we care about each other. You turn on the film and you see how hard those guys play. They're not playing for me. They're playing for each other.
Yeah.
When you play that hard, and you know, you're playing for the whole group.
I guess last one before we maybe get to some stuff that you might enjoy a little bit more. how big, so obviously you've set up the program and you've facilitated it all, but how big has it been to have some of the players that have come in, Drake, Landon, Courtney Love, just for a couple of examples, there's so many, that firstly, is that part of the way that you recruit, to choose people like that? Because I think we don't have any egos on the team. We've never had any guys that kind of fall out of line. It's always been guys that just come in, do their work, get it done, set the example, and they've been able to, like you said, we're a player-led team.
Yeah.
How important is that in recruiting, and then how important has that been to be able to back you up in building the program?
It's huge because it's everything we just talked about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the organization. You're going to play harder for everybody. When it means something, when you have to answer to everybody, when it comes, we touched on discipline, when we touched on rules, we touched on all that. Well, you have to answer to everybody, you know, and that's where it's bigger than me. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to come in. Very few times do I got to bring guys in my office and just all of a sudden have them come to Jesus meeting. You know what I mean? Because why? It's handled before it gets to me.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you got good things in place. We're not perfect, but I mean, it's about everybody and answering to everybody.
No coffee today?
Oh, yeah.
What's the everyone?
See, I got a new machine right around this corner here. Oh yeah,
Starbucks.
So I don't have to. It basically like it's like Starbucks, but I always start with my Starbucks. But now I got this machine over here. It's pretty good.
We talk a lot about the coffee on the show. Yeah. We love it. Firstly, what is your coffee order? And secondly, you like to kind of swirl it yourself. Do you not heard of a spoon?
Do you want to? Should we take this program on the road? It just 5 feet away here, and I could show you how I make my new machine.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Okay, so my coffee is a grande non-fat latte from Starbucks.
Okay.
Usually a triple grande non-fat latte.
All right.
Okay. But I've kind of learned to make one here. Ask Abby if she could get us some milk. Hold on a minute.
We just got him thinking about coffee, and now he's just up and going.
A little bit of milk from downstairs.
Just say that we're on the move.
Right, yeah.
All right, well, we got to wait until we get some milk.
Oh, you want to keep going? Then we'll just edit it in, Brent.
We'll keep going, or I could get started when I get the milk, but I got a whole machine here, so.
Wow.
I mean, my kids sent it to me for Father's Day. So
that was an
awesome gift.
It's a convenient gift because we've heard a story that you nearly got.
There's one.
Hey, there you go.
Steven Johnson.
Wait, let me tell him. Stevie. You're on a podcast right now with Miles and Max. You know these clowns. Have you been listening to that? Have you been listening?
Cool.
Yeah. So it's good. Let me finish up with these guys. I'll call you back. I hear you may be coming in this week, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. Look forward to seeing you, buddy. I'll call you back.
All right.
Bye. All right.
There's a story. It may be a tale. Or it may be true.
Not a tile.
That you nearly got ran over in the Starbucks parking lot. It's good that the machine's here now to keep you away from any danger.
and he was the driver. I want to hear your side of that story.
Well, he wasn't paying attention. I think he was looking at his phone, texting, or whatever.
Probably,
you know,
one of those annoying group messages.
Or all his girlfriends, you know, and he's looking down, and I'm just going to get my Starbucks, and he tries to run me over, yeah.
I don't know how true that is, but that's fine. I think you were very infatuated with your coffee at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, NIL stuff's come around, and you'd be a great one for Starbucks. But just in general, I feel like me and Miles have noticed while you've been here, just so natural in front of the camera with your acting, dancing, obviously, after games, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Was that just something you were born with, or what is that? You've got the mic drop. You've got the Coke Zero ad out now.
Well, I mean, you know, the dancing was a work in progress. I mean, you know, the older I get, the stiffer I get. So, I mean, that Marquand was going to teach me some new stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're trying to educate me a little bit.
Abby said that sometimes she hears the music coming from your office and you're kind of doing a bit of choreographing yourself.
I mean, just ask Walker.
Marty and McGee.
Yeah.
Yep.
You went on there. We watched your interview with them. Uh-huh. We've got several questions from that. First, they asked you what your song at the wedding would be to get you dancing, and they had to bleep all of it out.
There was
you never came up with the
25
song.
25 profanities said
what
in
was
between.
The song?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you who has a good playlist, Coach Morrow. You know what I mean? And he goes to all extremes. I got to give him credit, but I don't know the names. Like, I don't pay attention, man.
You just hear it and you get
it.
I just
hear it. I'm like, I like that.
That's
a
good one.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, coffee's here. Let's go. We're on the move. Yeah. We're on the move. We want to see this firsthand.
So this is the portion of the interview when Coach Stoops takes us back and shows us his little coffee maker that he has conveniently right in the meeting room where they discuss all their game plans, everything like that. If you would like to see that, how fun of an experience that was, head over to @PennantDeepKSR. We will tweet out the link to the video. Give it a watch. Great stuff. Now, let's get back to the interview.
He's got his coffee now, so he's happy. So
good.
We cheered him up a little bit. He was in a bad mood before.
There we go.
A little swell.
There you go.
I'm not letting him off easy on the Marty McGee, though, because we've got the one last one.
Oh, let's chuck that in here. Let's just chuck that in here.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get back to
that. Yep. That's fine. All right.
So this could be – I've always wondered this. This is kind of something that's always intrigued me. So a basketball coach – loves their basketball, always knows everything about basketball, every intricate detail, kind of coaches it. Swimming coach knows everything about swimming. Soccer coach, same thing. Like, they're expert on soccer, they know everything. But you're a head coach.
But you want to talk about the expertise they have in kicking game
I was going to say you're a head coach, so what do you specialize in?
Well, of course, defense. I mean, what's going on? I mean, I'm not going to – because it says HBC next to me, head ball coach, you know, doesn't mean – does not mean I'm an expert in everything. Like, I go tell you, hey, plant the foot here. I mean, you know, heck, come on, let's be honest. You have your own professional, like a lot of kickers, like use people even outside of the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, you grow up, you know, being taught by people and learning what you learn. Just because I'm a head coach does not make – I love how head coaches become head coach and all of a sudden they're an expert in everything.
Well, that's
my expertise is defense. Yeah. So even when I'm not out there on the field, every bit of film, every bit of the structure, every bit of it. Like, I am so lucky to have Brad White, you know, John Summerall, Frank Bufano, you know, Chris. I mean, those guys do a great job. And this sport is so damn big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's so many nuances. I mean, literally, people don't realize, like, when I was a DB coach, man, I loved it. But I broke that. Crap, I was going to say the S word, but I don't know where this could go. I broke that stuff down to a science. I'm talking about lean, step, hand placement. You know, I mean, just loved it. And then you get removed from it a little bit because you're a coordinator, defense coordinator.
Yeah.
And you get a little more removed about what you love, digging into the, like, I mean, specific science.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a golf coach. Yep. Which in turn I relate to you guys,
right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, but that's what I was. I love that. And then you become a coordinator, get a little more removed from that, and you become a head coach, and you get a little more removed from everything. And that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I love that, but I also love being a head coach. You know, and so it's really hard. And you want to talk about getting spread?
Yeah.
Doing all the things we just talked about, and going and have to be a defense coordinator. Now, I still love watching the film, but it bothers me because I get pulled in a million directions. I just ran all morning, and I promised you guys to try to help you guys out, help you build your brand. You know what I mean? But, I mean, this is time right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got to get in there, and I love watching the film.
Yeah.
But you get pulled a million different directions.
Yeah, and that's great you brought that up, because I know you're always hands-off with us. You never really get too involved with anything that we're trying to do. I remember one South Carolina game in particular where you definitely kept out of the punt huddle and, well, you didn't actually. You came screaming out, Max, you grabbed me and you were throwing your arms around in red in face and said, hoop it, put it up in the air, up as high as you can. Little did you know we'd planned a punt that was like the lowest punt we have in the game. I came off, you gave me a high five, you said, well done. I think you've got a little story too.
EKU, mm-hmm. Austin was injured.
Yeah.
I'm out there warming up, mm-hmm. tight as could be, in a certain area of the body.
Yeah.
You come walking up angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, listen here, pencil.
You bet. Pencil not. Something.
That's not said, true. You guys exaggerate.
You said, listen here, pencil. You better not miss a kick tonight. And then you laughed and said, you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt much better after the laugh at the end. I didn't feel good at the beginning.
Okay.
We always enjoy your advice.
Any kissing tips are great.
Always get the golf clubs
kick
out
the
there.
Damn ball through the goalpost. Easy. Yeah, that's right.
The other thing we love about you, your mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
Love all the sayings. Obviously, your favorite one's normally true or not true.
Yeah.
True. So we've got some true or not trues for you. Okay, so you can either answer true or not true, or you can explain
it. I
got to
get back to work.
First question, true or not true?
True.
Always true.
Yeah.
All right. Second, you can't beat anyone until you stop beating yourself.
True.
Florida had a little trouble with that, didn't they?
Do you hear that? You got to say that slowly. You can't beat anybody until you stop beating yourself.
Yeah.
Football 101.
101.
Reap what you sow.
True.
Boys do what they want to do. Men do what they have to do.
True.
Can't just pull the covers up in the morning, can you?
You can't, man. Hey, listen. It gets back to earlier. How do you do it? You know, what do you do? Yeah. You know, it's like you can't be defeated. You know, I used that word a couple weeks ago, defeatism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get the result you want. You don't play. And we won. But it's like you either stay defeated
mm-hmm.
or you respond.
Do the little things so the big things aren't so big.
That's right. Do the
that's
little
right things. That's right or that's true?
That's false. Do the little things and big things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can say it a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you take care of the little things, little thing, big things are going to happen.
We love all the sayings, and we normally understand all of them. Mm-hmm. One that I'm just going to give you a little inside information that none of the players have any clue what it means, but you say it all the time.
Which one?
Stay in the red room. Where's the red room? What room is it? Why is it red?
It's not red. It's not red, you knucklehead. It's gray. Gray room. That's boxing.
So the boys have said that your favorite one's red room. So have you been messing that up?
You're thinking of that movie, Red Room. Remember that what was that old movie? You guys are too
red
young.
The Shining.
You guys don't know. You're not paying attention.
Where's the gray room then?
That's in boxing, man. You got to there comes a time. It's just talking about that same fight, just a different analogy of what we were just talking about.
Okay.
Like in a box, the boxers, you're going to get hit. You get hit.
Okay.
And there's going to time where you either fight back to survive or you fight back to win.
Oh. Well, you might want to clear that up with them because they've got no idea.
No, clarify that
in the team meeting.
Chad Pennington came in. He probably delivers it a lot better than me. But Chad came and talked to the team and gave a great speech. And that was one I borrowed from him. Mm-hmm. Chad kind of talked about that. And he did it much more eloquently than I did, I'm sure. And we'll have to get him back to explain that. But Chad's an incredibly smart person and really intelligent and gave a great analogy. This was during one of our difficult times. This might have been 5, 6, 7 years ago when we were on the brink, you know. Yeah. And Chad really was very unselfish with his time and came in and talked to the team. And I really remember that and appreciate that.
You always have good quotes, like we're saying, on Mondays. Mm-hmm. What's your source of most of them? Where do you get them from?
I spend a lot of time thinking about the motivation. You know, that's guys, after 9 years, you know, you got to make sure you keep it somewhat fresh. Yep. And have the right messaging for guys. And so I lean on Jason Cummings a lot. Mm-hmm. Helps me. And Jason is so intelligent. You guys have listened to him. And, you know, he takes me on retreats, and I've listened to generals. I've listened to people that they can't even say their real name because they're that secretive in the military. Mm-hmm. And we've been all over, and honestly, he's one of the most talented guys I've ever listened to. He captivates me. Mm-hmm. and he really helps me because he's also here. You could bring in professional people, but they don't know our team.
Right.
He's here. He understands. He's at games. Mm-hmm. He's watching. He's observing. He gives me, you know, some thoughts. This is what I saw. You mm-hmm. know, you handled this really good. Maybe think about handling this maybe differently here. You know, all that stuff. I mean, the guy taught leadership at West Point. He knows a few things pretty good.
Yeah.
And so he's here and he works with me daily. He works with our staff. He works with our team. And I like leaning on him.
How many of the quotes come from just a few days at the Stoops column? What is the Stoops column, and give us the background on that?
The Stoops column, that's back in the day when we were all Hawkeyes. You know, my brother Bob, Mike, and I all played at Iowa. And there was a bar there, and our buddy owned it, and it was called the Sports Column.
Okay.
So, you know, by chance, there was probably one of us in there every night, so it became the Stoops column.
Good food there?
Yeah. I don't know.
What would be your order there?
Well, they had in the back, they had a basketball, a regular size free throw.
Okay.
The net fed it back to you.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a pop shot. It was just a throw.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was pretty good.
Shoot for shots.
Didn't you use that yesterday? Didn't you have a competition recently?
I had a recruiting dinner last night. And, uh-huh. Thanks to Lex Live, because it was perfect. You know, there was Sunday night games on. Yeah. And went down and had some good food. And then I had to go over in that little room, you know, and play some pop shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Took care of
business. He didn't know it was coming.
So he owes me a commitment. No. I mean, took care of business last night.
We got two more for you. Right. Along with the Stoops column. Since I've finished playing, I've been lucky enough to come over for a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You normally treat me to it's probably spare change for you, but treat me to the nice bowl of Pappy.
Yeah.
True or not true. You get so annoyed when I decide to put some of this.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you right over the head. I'm going to hit you right. I'm going to bop you on the head. You can't come over to my house and me offer you a nice little pour of Pappy, and you're going to put Coke in it. You know people are going to beat you up over that, right? You're not in Australia anymore here. You know what I mean? I'm giving you – you're not getting Pappy if you're going to put Coke in it.
The first time I did that, the look on your face, it was like you'd seen a ghost.
Oh, yeah. That's not going down again. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And the last one that we've got, you talked about group chats. You hate them. So we're glad that you just delete those because you probably don't even know this. Mm-hmm. So when I was playing, me, Miles, Tristan, Grant, all the specialists always get together. 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whenever it was where we felt it was necessary and we were hydrated enough to get the confidence to do it.
Uh-huh.
We'd just add you into our group chat, send you a little message and then delete it and then remove you. Did you ever look at them? Or is that just something that you just don't even look at?
I really did. You're lucky. I did not.
Hey, Coach, we love you. Thank you so much for being on. I appreciate your time. It's been awesome.
You guys will make a good living. I'm glad you're doing so well. I'm always here for you and appreciate being on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, obviously you all know him, but just being there watching you all get to do that Stoops interview, which you guys got him into his comfort zone, I would say, which is what was really cool. Just to see him that loose and that transparent is something we've never seen before, I don't think.
I've seen it.
Well, I mean, you've seen it. I mean,
a time or two.
I've seen it a couple times.
A little bit.
But the fact that, like, he came on mid-season and did that was just really dope. And we really want to appreciate Stoops.
No, awesome. Awesome to have him. Love spending time with Coach Stoops. It's always great. And just to catch up with him in general, to be honest, was awesome. I hadn't seen him in a little while. Obviously, he talked about during the interview how busy he is and how he gets spread thin. So, just to see him and sit down with the great man for a little while was good. Some funny moments during the interview too. I could not believe he took us to go make a coffee with him.
The field trip was a nice pit stop.
He clearly had some of his own stuff planned, which was hilarious.
And we're going to have to put that probably, like, so obviously the audio's not going to hear us. So if you want to see Coach Stoops make his coffee, head over to our Twitter, @PennantDeepKSR. We may put it up on YouTube as well. On the KSR YouTube, but that was just really cool. And something on the back end of this that no one really knows. What was funny is when we were setting this up with Coach Stoops, this has been weeks of the making. We've been talking about it. I was like, well, maybe we can get him on after the season or after something like that. But we knew we had this stretch coming up of Florida, LSU, Georgia. And Max, you texted him. And you were like, hey, Coach, would love to get you on. And he texts back, full confidence.
He texts me 20 times, but yeah, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, But sincerely, he, yeah, in full confidence, texts back, and this is the most baller shit I've ever seen. He's just like, let me come on after we get this win or one of these wins, yeah, or something like that. Like, that's so dope.
I liked when we showed up today. Unfortunately, we didn't get video of this. As we're walking down the hallway, we're headed into his office a little bit early trying to set things up. And we just hear from down the hallway, look at these idiots. Look at the idiots.
Speaking of looking like idiots, you were still in the banana costume for the interview.
Part of it. I'm not going to commit to the whole thing.
So for the people listening, we had a minor stuff up.
Technical difficulty. Call
it today. And we were going to film the whole interview. And we've got film of Coach Stoops, as you will see, with the little grabs that we put out.
Because I did my part. I just want to say that.
We had a few communication difficulties, let's say, and me and Miles didn't, the film that was supposed to be on me and Miles didn't work, so we couldn't put the full film out. Not that it would have been that great, to be honest, anyway, yeah, but it just would have been nice to have a video. But we've got some grabs for you during the week from the Stoop stuff, and like we said, if you want to see Coach Stoops talk us through making a coffee, which, by the way, you'll hear on the audio, you may not hear the whole thing, you'll just have to watch the video, but he 100% came up with that himself. Like, that wasn't like us going, hey, Coach Stoops, like, take us to make a coffee or something. He just had come in fully prepared and was ready to go.
He was excited to show us the new coffee machine.
No doubt.
Mean, I've never seen a man so excited.
Well, because we were obviously going to ask him just about his coffee in general. And as soon as you got the COF out, he was popped up ready.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll just show you.
No, it was good. It's awesome. And again, and we always say this, it's not just speech and it's not just for the fans that when we say that, he's genuinely just such a great guy with all the guys. Yep. Treats everyone with so much respect, gives us so much time. I hope that's the way it came off in the interview. I know that's obviously, I get that from him every time I talk to him. But hopefully for the people listening, you know that you've got a coach that all the players love. And he said, yeah, they're not doing it for me, but I can guarantee you everyone on the team has some small part in them that's playing for Coach Stoops for sure.
No doubt.
And I think that's one of the cool things about Coach Stoops as well, is that translates to the blue-collar fans who have lived through the long, suffering Kentucky football. Yep. Like, it feels like Stoops gets it. He feels like a bro, and he's one of us.
And tell me one other coach in the nation, besides maybe Kiffin, tell me one other coach in the nation that would have done that mid-season with any past players.
Probably none.
Not for 45 minutes or whatever it went for. No, there's no shot, and I think that's great.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, he's just one of us, and it's really cool that, like, he felt so – again, me being a diehard Kentucky football fan, I don't get to go in there like you all do. Like, the fact that he was, like, welcoming to all of us was, like, just so dope.
How was the walk through the facility? Because I don't think you may have done it. I don't know. Have you ever – how was the walk through the facility today, and how was, like, being in the room with him and seeing some of the other coaches and players and all that?
Well, what's funny is we saw Eddie Grant on the steps, and we were all like, what's up, coach? And he just looked at me. He's like, I don't know who you are. but, no, it was cool. So, what's funny is the first time I ever went to the locker room was when they were doing the facility tour in 2016. And that was actually the same day Kentucky got absolutely dog smacked by Florida in the swamp.
Okay.
And Mitch Barnhart was there. We were like 0-2, and it looked like it was going to be the end of the road for Stoops. And he was basically like, I promise we're going to get this turned around. Like it was just a big disappointment. And I go in this time, and it's super cool. Obviously, you know, seeing Eli in the locker room was cool.
not cool.
but no, it was a pretty cool experience just for me personally, and I'm excited to go and do stuff like that again because I hope that we can have Stoops on again sometimes.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think just to see two former players in there, Coach Stoops was obviously excited, even to see a fan come by. It's always good for him to interact with the fans, but now Coach Stoops, he really does appreciate the fans. When he says that stuff at the press conferences about the crowd and all that playing a big part and BBN with the whole Chris Stoops situation as well, he really means that stuff and the impact you all can have.
And the only people that love the fans more than Coach Stoops is us, right?
Yep.
We absolutely love the fans. And in love. The tailgating was awesome on Saturday. Mm-hmm. For those of you that saw us, thank you for screaming at us and saying, are you the guys that do Pin It Deep? And just things like that. And who's your little brother? And no, that's Miles. He's an MIA agent. Things like that. But no, it was awesome to do the tailgating. I had a lot of fun. I don't know about you guys. I had a lot of fun. We had some great moments.
What was your favorite moment?
Cool. I would say, I mean, there's an obvious one that you guys are going to have to watch the video. We got a video coming out on Wednesday. Well, I'm going to hope for Wednesday.
No, it's going to be Wednesday. We're good. We're
Wednesday. And there's a man, there's an old man that does some unbelievable stuff with our microphone.
He was a bit hungry.
But my favourite moment for sure was just the two lovely ladies that invited us to sit down with them and,
yep.
and share a few biscuits and, well, no, you guys don't call them biscuits here, but crackers and
yep.
cheese and dip and stuff like that and just have a nice conversation about life.
It was such a nice setup. It's like they were having like a nice little light lunch before going to the game. Like everyone else is like pounding beers yeah. and chicken wings and just getting just toasted and they're just like having a lovely little lunch.
It was such a big mix up from the guys trying to yell in our fake microphone to go into that.
And we finally found the gate.
yeah. Was that your favorite moment, Miles?
It had to be one of our favorites. Luckily, we thought we were going to get coerced into doing karaoke. Oof. We were debating the song. Yeah. Luckily, I think they had, didn't they say they had like an American Idol contestant
yeah. she
there?
She took it over, so yeah, you all didn't have
luckily,
to.
Luckily, we didn't embarrass ourselves there, but we did make it to the gate.
Unbelievable chicken wings at the gate, by the way.
No, it was fun. It was fun. So, yeah, you guys are, for those listening, go on to, I believe, KSR's YouTube page, mm-hmm. And you'll be able to find that video. It's very funny.
And if we'll tweet it out, too.
If we filmed you at any stage, I hope you made the cut for your sake, and you guys will love that. We'll tweet
or
it out.
Some of you may hope you don't make the cut, because there was a few out there who were having a
well,
good time.
Well, there was the guy, the parking attendant,
yep.
that just did not want any part of it, and then just decided to speak all over us the whole time. I was like, at the time, I was going to say, make your mind up. Because he's literally like, no, you can't get me. You can't get me. We're like, all right, no problems. And then he just kept butting in.
Yep. Well, I also had a good time, too, because you finally got to eat your buffalo chicken dip. And, like, me and Miles are sitting there like, this, like, looks like good buffalo chicken dip. We didn't get any of it, by the way. And you're just eating it. And, like, the people who are giving it to you, like, are so excited to see your reaction. And you look like you're about to vomit Dude. The whole time.
Yeah, no offense to those people, but I just don't like it. It's just one of those tastes in my mouth that just makes me feel really sick. I almost threw up when the guy ate the microphone, our fake microphone, because that, to me, I could feel that taste in my mouth of just squashed.
You've had it before?
Peel and, I could just, anyway. Did not enjoy that, but no, it was.
You know what I thought was kind of cool, though, is like the first person we saw was like, Butler, Wainscott. And then he was like, he didn't know who you were. And then we go and we end up running into the Levis family. And they were talking to you two. And they were like, oh, so it's two former players. And then they were like, and you. And I was like, yeah, pretty much.
No,
it was a good Saturday.
It was really good fun. It was really good fun to go out there and interact with the fans. And hopefully we'll get another chance to do that at some stage this year.
We will.
But we were more doing what we wanted to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
But at some stage, you've got to do what you have to
do. The covers.
This is
covers.
Our favorite segment. Boys do what they want to do. Men do have to do. And why is that, Max?
You can't just hit the snooze on the alarm, pull the covers up.
Cannot do it.
Tell mum to bring in your coffee. You can't do it. Nope. You've got to get up out of bed, throw those covers off, roll out, put the shoes on, and get into it.
Yep. Coach Stoops doesn't make his mom bring his coffee. He heads into the office, punches the clock, and makes his own coffee.
Hey, he commented about today. He said he's never been a man to just pull up those covers. He's straight out. So, some nominations for this week. You want me to go first?
Go ahead. I think this is a contested week.
I mean, it's tough to ever beat this man because he's made the nominations again, but this is an unbelievable story, and I wish we had found this out before we interviewed him. So apologies to the listeners that we didn't, but a fantastic story that I heard today. So I've been going, and he's probably going to ban me from now on if he hears this. So
please don't ruin this for us.
Yeah, I just got from a source. But I do spend a lot of time around the Kentucky football team in the locker room. So they went to play the game on the weekend. And so Coach Stoops always has his coffee that he has before the game. He gets onto the bus and they give him a coffee and he kind of walks down catwalk with his coffee, gets himself going, a bit of caffeine, you know, trying to really heighten the mood for himself. And the coaches all have a little texting group in there. And one of the coaches said, hey, remember... Well,
let's explain the text group.
So the text group is basically to look after... Like, it's none of the big dogs are in the text group. It's all the little minions that are in there. And all the little minions kind of text each other and...
No coordinators.
No Stoops. Definitely not Coach
Stoops.
And they kind of just go, hey, remember, this needs to be sorted out for Coach White. This needs to be sorted out for Coach Cohen. This needs to be sorted out for Coach Stoops, whoever it is.
Okay.
And all the minions kind of just have their little group that they can text back and forth to make sure things are organized. Well, one of the things that's supposed to be organized each week, because he's doing meetings, etc., is Coach Stoops' warm, hot coffee from Starbucks, which is just down the road from the hotel. And this week, the man that normally sorts that out was busy doing some recruiting stuff. So they only realized at the last minute, oh my, who's going to get his coffee? Someone texts into the group and said, has anyone gotten Coach Stoops' coffee? Remember, such and such isn't here this week. To which someone said, nope. Another person said, nope. Another person said, nope. Another person said, nope. And one of the people that was in charge of it took it upon himself to sprint out of a meeting down the road to the Starbucks because the buses were about to get loaded to take off. So he took off, apparently broke the land speed record to get to Starbucks, got Stoops' coffee, but didn't make it in time back for when the bus was supposed to leave. So you'd think the buses would just take off. Uh-uh. The big dog said, we ain't leaving until I get my coffee. I'll wait as long as I have to. Buses left 3 minutes late because they had to wait for Mark Stoops to get his warm coffee.
I'd pay to see that film in the Starbucks because you know he showed up and was like,
he was sweating.
Everyone
get
out of the way.
Out.
Out of the way. Yeah. I'm cutting to the front like he had a fast pass at Disney World or something.
Yeah, yeah.
As if he was getting it for the president. Like, yeah. This is for a very special person.
Yeah.
Do not mess with this coffee.
The Stoop special. The Stoop special. Pronto. Pronto.
Imagine they messed the order up.
Oh. See, what I would want to know is how far away the Starbucks was. Like, imagine that he has to leave this meeting and sprints like full on 2 miles to go get this coffee.
I know where it's at. It's just far enough where he'd break a sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
Just far enough.
Yeah, he would have been breathing heavy too. Yeah. So I just think that's a man doing what he has to do. Coach Stoops just saying, we ain't leaving until I get the coffee. Miles, you got one?
Real quick before you leave that, because okay. I like games like this.
Yeah.
How long would he have waited?
I say,
at what point do you just leave him and get one at the game?
I think he would have left after about, I say the 5 minute mark would have been it, because he is a structured man. He would have liked to stay on schedule. But as per usual, good luck to the referee with the first PI call if he didn't have his coffee in his hand. And good luck to the staff member who took off down the road and didn't come back in time. You've got an absolute earful.
Well, my thing that I don't understand too is like if this is a road game, like this was this week.
This is at home.
So like, he showed us the coffee maker. It's literally in the
So we're coming from the hotel to the stadium.
Right, but like the stadium is literally right. Like he could take.
He
3 minutes
have
to
time to do that.
You saw how long it took today.
Fair enough.
He didn't even have time to get his own milk today.
That's true.
Miles,
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Willow.
Stone Cold Willow. For those that are listening that don't know, there is
a man. By the way, just to cut you off really, really fast, I think this is hilarious that we always say, and I'm a big proponent of it too, if we always say for those listening, as if people are hearing us that aren't listening.
I try to say for those that don't know.
For those who
I
are
know,
hearing.
Yeah, you but do yeah. a good job. I always say for those of you that are listening, as if like there's someone, somehow they're hearing us without listening.
Must be a weird Australian thing.
Sorry, continue.
Stone Cold Willow, he is a UK legend, is how I would describe
him. Don't forget his dance move either.
He's got some dance moves that he does. We used to go out and we'd see him at some local establishments, and he would do a little party trick.
Yeah.
He'd balance cups on his head
and
walk around the bar. I don't know how old he is. He may be a listener.
He might.
Could
However,
be listening.
Stone Cold, if you're listening.
Saw him in the student section, I think, Saturday night, which how he's...
He's always in the student section.
Yeah.
But how? He's not. Is he still a student?
He finds a way.
He just gets his way.
He's
in
a
there.
Man. He does what he has to do.
Just a fifth year.
I think he had the WWE belt, didn't he?
Yeah.
And there's just a golden picture of him at the end holding up the belt as if he had just won
in
the title.
In the middle of the like field rush, he's in the middle with the belt.
Like they're zooming out of the field to see like everyone else, and still the focus is Stone Cold with the WWE belt.
I love Stone Cold.
I just want to say though, you just kind of got on Stone Cold for like, how is he still in the student section? How old is he? When like we have like Max in here, and he literally was on campus just last year.
I was a student though, to be fair.
Student.
What's like? Are you older than Stone Cold?
We don't know how old
Stone Cold is. He could be like 500 and we wouldn't have a clue. He might be like a Benjamin Button type. We wouldn't have
Stone
a clue.
Stone Cold, please write into the
We had a plan for a long time as friends that Stone Cold's been carrying around that WWE belt for a long time as if he's the world heavyweight champ. We wanted to jump in one night when he walks in the bar, get someone in a full referee outfit, pin him down for 3 seconds, get him to tap out and just take the belt.
Pin him deep.
Take the belt. So that would have been hilarious. You've got one for us?
Yeah, man of the week, kind of a basic one, but Waka Flocka, man.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he shows up wearing a Kentucky jersey, goes all in. It wasn't like a quick appearance, too, where he's like, oh, I'm Waka Flocka, I'm here, then leaves. He stayed the whole time.
Yep.
Rushed the field.
Yeah.
Was in the locker room with Stoops after the game. Yep. Busting a move. He might have been out at some of the establishments here in Lexington. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just absolute doing what he has to do, coming in,
got us the W,
repping
too.
The Cats. Yeah. Here's my question, though. Had Kentucky lost the game, would we have had to retire Grove Street then?
He would have never been invited back.
Correct.
I don't think you retire Grove Street yet.
But, well, duh, because they won. But, like, had they lost?
Well, I mean, had you lost, that's a tricky thing. But, yeah, he would have not been invited back. Do you think that's going to become – you can't use it, just like Stoops with the whiteboard, mm-hmm. the big rah-rah. You can't use it every week. When will they bring him back again next? Because they will, if he wants to come back.
Yeah, you know, I think I want to say he's actually a Georgia fan on the low.
Is he?
I mean, he's from there.
So another interesting part of that is our beautiful equipment manager, the head of equipment, wanted to give him a number that none of the players that play wear. And he gave him 94
uh-huh.
and was like, this will do. This is a good number. No one wears that. Then you're kind of not taking away from the people on the field. The punter, Colin Goodfellow, wears 94.
Starting punter, yeah. Colin so, Goodfellow.
But Colin, they, yeah, just did not know that Colin
Goodfellow. Waka Flocka fame. Big Colin
Goodfellow. Big Colin Goodfellow fan. Yeah, apparently, yeah. Just absolutely loves him.
Well, what was cool, too, is like he was actually like interacting with the fans. Like he was in the middle of the rushed field, and like it is just really cool to see him out there, especially after we've used his song for what,
forever.
7 years. And honestly, shout out to KY Engineering for, you know, doing that and hooking that up, because
very cool.
Oh, yeah, absolute man. Cool. But I can that's really our three nominations, but I can give you a nomination for Boy of the Week.
Oof.
Lance Butler.
Oh no.
Your brother Miles.
Dude, not again.
So
well, hold on.
I thought we
hold
put this
on.
To bed.
Well, here's the deal. For those of you that know about the Great Wall of China, pyramids of Egypt.
Yep.
There's some great we put a man on the moon.
Yep,
we did.
There's been some great human accomplishments.
Polio vaccine.
Yep. Not the only vaccine, but there's several. But yeah,
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore mm-hmm. is a pretty impressive structure
the
that was man made.
Yep.
Pyramids
yep.
would be probably top of my list. But
yep.
compass, not bad.
We think fire as well. Yep. We think
Tesla.
We are up. We may not top the list.
The wheel.
We're up.
Boneless wings.
I think we're in the list though now. Like we could get chucked in with that whole group.
$10 nights on a Thursday at. Two keys.
At home coffee frothers.
Number one China buffet.
We have gotten
Clark Family Farms beef.
Coach Stoops today actually gave
Golden
us a whisper.
Corral's countrywide.
Gave us a whisper after the interview about helping him recruit.
Yep.
He was so impressed by our recent efforts. For those listening, Lance Butler has finally listened to Pin It Deep.
Oh, no, I'm not clapping.
Round
that.
Of applause.
No,
Lance,
that.
I am a fan of you. That. I am your brother.
I
appreciate you finally giving us a listen.
The funniest part about all of this is that he's not going to listen to this episode and even know that we've shouted him out. So here's the deal, listeners, and I won't say to those listening. Here's the deal, listeners. So we obviously, going back, we said Lance Butler doesn't listen to the show, which is Miles Butler's brother. Doesn't like it. Not funny. Not interested. Not my type of show. Don't worry about it. You guys, no one's going to listen. So we threw out the challenge that if he would ever listen to the show and tell us that he listened and heard the part that we bring him up, we will do some sort of punishment. We asked everyone not to please pass that information on. We threw an extra one out on it last week because I moved out of his house on the Monday, and we said, how long will it take for him to find out that I'd even moved out of his house? Which it took him till Friday.
Thursday night.
So here's my gripe, and this is going to be directed at you.
Go ahead.
So, Lance, Miles does the right thing by this podcast and drives down here most Thursdays, which is so inconvenient for him, but we love Miles for doing
that. Shout out. Doing what he has to do.
Huge drive.
Being a man.
Yep. Drives all the way down up from Nashville. But he'd been back and forth so much that on Thursday, my reading between the lines is Lance didn't know I'd moved out yet because – my door was closed, and he's just oblivious to anyone in the world besides himself. It's Lance's world, and we're just living in it.
I'm glad to be in it.
But Miles would have been very, very tired, and I think he summed up in his head, if I'm going to continue to go on with this joke, I'm going to have to sleep on the couch. I would rather a bed, so I'm just going to blow this joke out of the water and just say, I don't care about the show. I don't care about anyone. I just care about myself. I'm going into Max's room so I can get a good night's sleep. And I'm not giving up that for the sake of the show. True or not true?
One, it's not true. Mm. He called me about it before I arrived. Two,
suspect.
there is a boy that is discussing it, but it's not Lance. I just think that you're not in the mood to do the punishment. Now that Lance has actually caught us, you promised that we would wear the shirt with him, and now you're not wanting to hold up your
end of the deal.
I'll
tell you what, I will do it.
Are we having okay. beef?
I will do it. I will.
It's debate between boys.
I will 100% do it if he mentions again that we mentioned him this show. Because okay. he won't.
Again.
He won't listen again. There's no way in the world he'll listen again. Someone's told him. He's getting the inside word from
Can
someone.
Can we do a side bet? Because I bet he does listen.
I bet he does too now.
I bet he does.
Like the fact that you've came out and said this, like if we did this off the show, like I would probably be siding with you that he wouldn't. But like now that it's out there, like
someone's going to tell him again.
I'm team yeah. Lance right now. He is going to listen again. And I won't say a word to him.
Swear
he
on your parents' listen. Life you won't tell him.
Whoa. I won't say I'll have to speak to him.
No, you won't tell him that he has to listen.
Won't say a word to him.
No,
swear.
No.
Not a word.
No foul play.
If he mentions it though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll put a sizable fee.
No, I don't want money on it. I want something embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because I can't wait to see you do it. Eat your crow.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, at what stage do we cut off the bet? Because if this is an everlasting bet, and like Lance, when he's like 80 years old on his rocking
chair, Max will
be
dead and gone by then. Don't worry. That's a long ways down the road. I say before we put the next one, before LSU, if he says before game time, I listened.
Yeah.
I think that's a bet.
Just the words. I listened.
I'll give you – there's a small chance he listens just because he wants to hear us give him the shout-out that he did listen, because that's typical Lance again. It's all about me. I just want to hear about mine. He'll fast-forward to the bit where he knows he's maybe getting talked about. Which, by the way, did we talk about last week when he said that he was the smartest man in the world?
He did not say that. He did not.
Well, okay. Close. So
he had a good quote. He had a funny quote.
Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think
we did. Can we give a quick Lance Butler story?
We talked about it after the game before he got back because he didn't pick us up after the game.
So quick Lance Butler story for everyone, which hopefully you're starting to like our Lance Butler stories.
We love
Lance,
by the way.
Said to me and Miles last week, he got home from class and he said, really humbling experience for me today in class. There was a guy, we were doing some hard equations, and there was a guy in my class that seemed to be picking up the equations quicker than me, and he actually helped me out on one of them. It's really, really humbling to know that there might be someone smarter than me here. He doesn't have a degree. He's not. He doesn't have. He got a 36 on the ACT, so
that's
he thinks
smart.
That means he's perfect in just in life and in general. Maybe someone smarter than me in the world just because someone helped him on one math. And let's just put a little one out there as well as Lance's strong suit.
Oh, so now we're just going to breathe
strong suit.
He wears, he dresses well.
His strong suit
so
is
we're just
not sarcasm.
Dunk on me for saying curmudgeon, but like we're just not going to just.
Correct.
Fee.
His strong suit's not sarcasm. So he's not the kind of guy that where he's joking. He genuinely meant that.
Do you think so, Miles?
I don't know. I think he. The thing is for Lance in math, he's one of the smartest mathematicians, magicians I've ever seen.
Listen,
but
I'm not going to.
It was humbling.
I'm never going to dunk on Lance because I've been in that same room before, and he says some things sometimes I'm like, okay, that's pretty smart. But then he says some things sometimes I'm like,
that was interesting.
Kind of off the wall.
This is the things I'll take away from Lance for those.
But it's
out
one of those
there.
Things where it's so like off the wall, it's like you kind of got to be smart to even think about it.
I know. He says some funny things. Whether or not he means for him to be funny, I don't know. He cooks one of the best pots of gumbo I've ever had, and three, and I think you would all agree with this. The best smile I've ever seen. And
loves,
I truly mean
smile.
That.
Loves a smile.
The smile of
the
wink.
He truly means the smile more than anyone in the world.
Yeah.
If we actually do have to end up making a shirt of him, I've already discussed it with him now that he's listened. I think a smiling picture, that would obviously go internationally viral if that shirt made the market. But Lance's smile is truly something to behold.
I don't want Lance to look at you all and be like, I listened. I would want him to say something he would never say.
Oh, there's a lot of things, but let's not get into that. Nah, that's too risky.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like off the wall, just
like a word.
Like my gumbo is bad.
No, like a take he would never
I'm
come up with.
I'm not smart.
Oh, you know,
I am not perfect.
Or how about he would say, what if he just finally admits that his
no,
Mexican
I'll
and his Chinese
no,
are the same?
I'll give you one. If he says to me and Miles, Max and Miles, I value your opinion. Because that is something that's never
that's
come
good.
Out of his mouth,
that would
ever.
Be good. That's
I
good
value
funny.
Your opinion is all I would like to hear from him.
That means he's listened.
Yep.
And the
he
side
has to say, I value your
on.
Opinion. Yep.
I'm,
but what's going to be funny is if, like, for some reason he asks you all for dating advice and he's just like, look, guys, like I'm being
doesn't,
serious. Like,
doesn't.
I know, but like if he ever like turned that like, leaf, not hilarious.
He doesn't
probably,
value our
probably
opinion.
Shouldn't ask yeah. either of us about that to begin
yeah,
with.
Well, fair.
Probably not the best start.
Yep, true.
But I've had enough of him. But speaking of things that start with L, LSU.
Love you, Lance.
What a segue.
I feel like we're ganging up on you with Lance.
Can we have
it's
some?
It's 2-1.
LSU.
All right.
Lance State University.
Can we have some quick predictions? Obviously, we're going to have the Saturday show.
Yeah, so.
Thanks to everyone that listened to the Saturday show. That was awesome. Thank you for texting in to Matt.
Yep.
Thank you for the one caller. That
we
was
actually
awesome.
Ran into her at the tailgate.
Ran into her at the tailgate. That was really cool. So, thank you. We're not asking you to do that again this week. That was just a one-off. So, that was awesome. But, yeah, if you guys get out of the shower on a Saturday morning and want to chuck us on the drive to the game, that was awesome. So we're going to do that again this Saturday, hopefully keep a bit of momentum going. But we do still give the Monday show predictions.
We do. And before we get – I still want to talk about Saturday a little bit, by the way.
Yeah.
My DMs flooded with post-shower pictures. Just was ruined. But
did you look at them all?
No. There was a few. I looked at the profile picture and said, nope, not going down that rabbit hole.
I received one from about 5 of the players on the team, and that wasn't good either.
Yeah. Well, I also kind of got – I guess that was my punishment for sitting there thinking I knew more than everyone and just, like, being just absolutely wrong.
Correct.
So apologies for that.
But,
LSU.
LSU real quick.
I'm excited. I'm excited to meet some Cajuns. We'll start there.
Yep, raging Cajuns.
Seems to be – we were talking to Matt Jones the other day. He said that LSU travels extremely well. So hopefully there's a few LSU fans. I wouldn't mind a good little banter with some of them, see if we can
they're not
crack
educated.
Some jokes and maybe eat some food with them. If they have some gumbo, jambalaya, anything like that, I might take a bite or two, see how it compares to Lance's.
I'm just ready for the next headline that says, former Kentucky punter says LSU fans are not educated.
They're not. I know a few, and they're not. And they're really bad. So I'm going to say LSU is a really, really close game. I think –
1-point
Vegas.
Kentucky
is. Oh, we're at to three
it's
now.
Up to three.
At to three
already?
Now. Yep.
Yeah.
Vegas obviously predicting close game. I'm predicting a close game. We may do. Imagine if we could do it. I'm predicting 2 weeks in a row, real close game. We get the solid win again, and this time it is the late field goal.
The late field
I'm going to say 2023.
Okay. Another thing, by the way, it's a pet peeve. I hate when you do the small score first.
Yeah.
And you do it all the time. I'm sure you do it back home. If you put whoever won first.
LSU, Kentucky, 20-23.
Okay, Arkansas, Georgia this weekend. What was the final score?
Arkansas was the smaller one, 0-34.
No, 37. So you say 30, whatever,
but you
zero.
Said Arkansas, Georgia.
But you say whoever won first.
Not if I said LSU versus Kentucky.
You say.
Because I say LSU score.
Hold on. Let's try this.
Okay.
So, because I'm trying to think about it. Because what you do is like. So, Florida played against Kentucky this week. Florida's on the road. Even when you talk about the teams, you're like, Florida first, Kentucky first. That's one thing you always do. But in American or the English language, you
– Well, he speaks English.
Well, I know that. But it's like on the proper writing style, and I am no expert at
which
that.
Which is not the
evident.
Way Americans do it, but okay.
It's
color is C-O-L-O-U-R.
Not here.
Who cares?
Correct. Okay, keep going.
But it's like you put the winning number first, no matter what.
And then you say who won after. It's like Kentucky this weekend.
23-20, you're saying. So yeah. I'd have to say Kentucky 23-20.
Or you say it after. Say the team after.
Say, I'll go 23-20 Kentucky.
There you go. See how good that flows?
Yeah.
Flows really well. Should we practice?
Can I stick with 2023?
Well,
you can keep the score. Just say
it
properly.
But when you say 2023 Kentucky, people will be like, but it just feels weird saying that. Like,
we can poll it during the week.
You will lose this poll.
Yep.
That will be the big first one I've lost. I'm happy with that. I'll be.
Well, it's because you take the easy road out take Stoops
I'll
for
be,
all your man of the week.
I'll be 1-4.
1-4.
One loss, 4 wins.
That's so wrong. Like, on so many levels. That is so wrong.
It's disgusting.
On so many levels. Like, I'm, oof.
I'd rather eat a banana with a peel on it than do that.
What you got? Come on, give us a score then.
I'm going to go low scoring.
Yeah.
Again, I think the offense is figuring some things out, but the defense is still lights out.
I'm just looking up the over-under real quick. Keep going.
Doesn't matter. It's not going to influence my prediction. I'm going to go – I think you're about right, though. What'd you say, 23-20? I'll go 27. I actually think we roll them. I think LSU is just
– Over-under is 52.
Okay. They're talented, but I don't think that they're playing together very well. Stingley may be out. Did I see that?
I think he's – so corner? This is not scoop. There's okay. not confirmation. I think he's done. I think this is a he's hurt, wink, wink.
Oh, but okay. he's just done yeah. for the year.
He's going to
– That's big for us yeah. in the passing game. I'm going to go 27-14 Cats.
Nice. Love
so,
that.
Well, so the last time I did a score prediction, I made myself look like a fool.
Can you remind us exactly what was said again? Or just – you can even paraphrase it.
Well, okay. Can I just say that I was – it was late Friday night. I had just gotten back from the beach. It was a long car ride. I was jacked up, ready for the game, so I just was feeling very aggressive and basically said that if you think it's low scoring,
sunstruck,
you're basically an idiot. And, of course, naturally, yeah. the game was 20-13. The yeah. under hit by, like, a solid 20 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the freezing cold takes Twitter account yep. posted that quote from you.
Take me over. Yeah, so – first time LSU's come up here since 2007. It's going to be another special atmosphere. Keeneland's going. I think there's going to be a lot of memories coming back from that 2007 game. Chrome helmets, probably black uniforms. Another special atmosphere.
Sellout.
Another sellout.
Already sold out, which is good.
Yeah, and it's going to be great just being in Lexington again for the 7:30 game.
Forecast looks really good right now as well, by the way.
Love it.
I'm knocking on wood when I say that, but
yep.
it looks good.
So, I just really don't know. I don't think I've got far enough into the week to make a prediction. You're
no
looking,
prediction?
Give the prediction.
I'm getting there. I got to think about it, okay? I haven't thought about
oh,
it
Oh, so far. You didn't know we're about to do a show about football,
no,
so you didn't
did.
Even think
no,
about your LSU
on,
prediction.
No, hold on. Pause. I was focused about Stoops all week long. I was like, I don't want to not press record on the camera. Made sure
I'll tell you
I got
what, I'll give you 10 seconds while I say my next thing. You've got 10.
MVP?
Because this is the biggest scoop you'll ever get.
Well, I thought we were doing predictions on Saturday.
This is the biggest scoop you'll ever get. And this, I predicted this once in the past, and I'm about to predict it again. I can't remember who it was, but you'll remind me in a second. It's not only that we win. I would take the parlay of LSU losers into Coach O getting fired.
Yep. Wow. That's actually really good.
Yeah, that's my parlay for the week. Can't lose parlay. LSU losers, Coach O's gone.
Okay. I would agree with that, except I think you're jumping the gun.
Who did we take that time? Keep going.
I know exactly what you're thinking about, too. Oh, that's going to piss me off. I think he does at the end of the year, not post-game.
See, I don't think it's end of the year because they've got a string of, like, and Nick Roush told me this, 5 straight ranked teams. It's, like, Kentucky first, and I think that spirals into, like,
it's a gauntlet.
Maybe Auburn. Or no, they already just played Auburn.
Yeah,
so they've only won.
What are they? 3-2.
Oh, they lost to UCLA week one. They lost to Auburn.
But I think they beat
Mississippi State,
right? And then they beat 2 non-conference, I think.
Yeah.
But if they lose to us, 3-3. But and then you've got like still Bama, Arkansas looks good. A&M could beat them. Ole Miss can beat them. Florida could beat them.
Yeah.
They could easily miss a bowl.
Yeah, and Coach O just. You know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, the 2019 National Championship team.
It's
well,
wearing off.
I mean,
wearing off in a hurry.
They got short memories. Memories like Fishers, LSU.
Yeah, I mean, Gene Chizik got fired after Auburn won, like, in 2 years. But, anyways, score prediction, I'm going to go.
Gene Chizik, brother of Gene Simmons. Keep going.
Felt very random. Is it that's not how it works? Like, just because I know that you want to put everything first, but, like, just because they have the same first name doesn't mean that they're brothers.
Come on, score prediction. It's not that hard.
just stalling. So I think Kentucky wins. I don't think they roll them like Miles says. I think they probably walk out of there. Offense needs to get going. I think LSU secondary is weak. I'm going to go 27-17.
Oh, so he just changed your score just a tiny bit. Anyway,
it's fine.
I'm not gonna lie. I stalled so much, I forgot what his
score was.
Gonna
be a good week. Follow our Twitter, please.
Too.
Comment away on everything we post. Retweet this one that we're about to pin. Just do all of the above. Comment away.
Yep, we've got a big week coming up. A lot of content. We've obviously got this episode. We've got some Stoop stuff coming out. We've got our tailgate video coming out. We're gonna be back in here Saturday. And we're just doing it for you all. We love the Cats. We love doing this for the Pinheads. And, again, we're just absolutely blown away by the sport. It's
been
nuts.
Great. Been
thanks.
Absolutely great. Thanks. Go
we
Cats.
Ready, we ready to get out of here?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, that was easy enough. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Go Cats.
Thanks.
Cats.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me
me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.